Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So I'm killing time on the internet waiting for us to come back. And I'm looking at the 15 dog breeds that make the best travel companions, Ed. See if I can find mine on there. What kind of dogs y'all got now?
Oh, my goodness.
Diane, or you got a bunch?
It's not you and Diane. Diane has them.
Oh, Diane. Wife. They're Diane's dogs.
They're Diane's dogs. Now, I do like our Great Pyrenees, Reuben.
That's a big dog, right?
He's big dog.
Like a big dog.
Yeah, he's big.
Is that as big as a St. Bernard?
Oh, no.
Or a Great Dane?
Yeah, no, those are bigger.
Okay, but this, but when, right
when
under that.
When you pull up in the driveway and he's on the front porch and
yeah.
He stands up, it just looks like a polar bear standing up. I mean, he just and we do have.
Is that a thick dog, a Pyrenees?
Yeah.
Or is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we do have three little dogs that I like. Okay, but the other three or four.
Any yappers in the family?
We did have one who was, I think the kind that you have. What do you have, Maltese?
Well, I have a Maltese. He's not a yapper.
Now, that was the yapper.
You had a Maltese yapper?
We had, yeah, and she died, and I was so glad.
Really?
Anybody knock on
the door. Because
she
went to doggy heaven. Does anybody think you have a cold heart towards dogs?
I don't have a cold heart.
I'm trying to help you, Ed.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to keep you away from all the emails.
If someone like
sounded cold and callous
on television,
right?
Off she went, yapping.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I said, I just.
Could you not talk to Diane about trading her for another dog?
Oh, no, she won't trade. If she's rescued
them. Another dog to be named later?
Yeah. If she's rescued them and has not given them away.
Oh, she's a rescuer?
Yeah, she'll rescue
dogs.
And
so you just. So it's kind of a world there with you and Diane.
Empty nesters.
You're happily married and everything.
Oh, yeah.
The kids are all gone and everything. You love your wife. But you just sort of let her have her dog world.
Yes.
In exchange for you watching hockey for 6 months.
That's right.
Right.
It's a pretty good deal.
It's a trade-off, but everybody wins right
and
there.
And I will say this. She has dogs down to a science. I mean,
right.
they go into their crates. They come out for to eat. They go outside. Blah 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 blah. She's got them on a schedule, and so it actually works out pretty well.
Well,
I get to watch hockey.
We have a Maltese, and you mentioned the Maltese,
yeah.
It's mentioned as like one of the top dogs that travel. And I got to tell
they're
you,
cuddly
dogs. Our little Maltese does travel great.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's no problem whatsoever. So I was wondering where he would fall on the traveling.
See, maybe that's the difference. Ours was a female dog. Maybe that's why it was a yapper, because women talk more than men.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, you can send your emails, people, to Ed Battagliano. Abe and I had nothing to do with that.
Not involved.
Very, it was a very dog sexist comment.
I don't need James Comey to tell me I'm not guilty of that.
You a dog person? You got any dogs?
My favorite type of dogs are someone else's.
So pet them and leave, huh?
That's right.
Okay.
Now, I like them. I just don't want to take care
right,
of them.
I understand. We were that way for 20 years. My wife and I, we raised the kids. Somebody said, don't you want a dog for your kids? And I go, no, I don't need any more creatures.
Right.
I got three creatures that I got to raise here. I don't need any more pressure. Okay. And I'm not going out in the winter to feed the dog. But now we have
take them out.
Now we have the Maltese, but of course we're empty nesters. So it's funny how life changes.
And a Maltese is a very cuddly dog.
Yeah, they're the
quintessential
that word.
Yeah,
lap dog.
Oh yeah,
they are. I mean, they love. Now, there are other lap dogs too, but those Maltese, man, they love their owner.
Right.
They're very social. I don't know how we got off on this, but I was.
Well, you were looking up.
15. I was.
What else is on the list?
Well,
we got a minute. We have 30 seconds before Alex.
Chihuahuas are great travel companions, according to this. They even say that's a Taco Bell dog, right?
Do Chihuahuas classify as dogs?
Yeah, they're barely.
Are they dogs?
Vermin.
They're barely.
They're vermin.
Are they evidence of the fall?
They say here a Great Dane is a. Great traveling companion.
That's because someone comes up to carjack you. They go, oh, move along.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
You and your little horse, move along.
A Great Dane. I would think that would be hard because the size of the dog. Not the anyway.
Huge. My goodness.
Oh, you got your Yorkshire Terrier.
Terrier, yeah. Little dog.
They say they're. I think that's what we had when we got a Yapper 10 years ago. We had to give
it away. Yappers.
We had to give it away after 2 months, I think it was.
Just too much noise.
Yeah, it was bad. You know, that's when we had small, our kids were small. I just couldn't, that thing about put me in a mental institution. I had to give it, we found it a good home.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't. And it would never, it wouldn't.
Did you tell them it was
a Yapper? Wouldn't house break.
Oh, yeah. No,
wouldn't house break. I mean, it would look at you while it's not house breaking.
Oh.
You know, kind of like, why don't you do something about this? I'm here. You pay $300 for me.
That's what my wife says.
You're not going to ship me away. I'll go to the bathroom where I want to.
Where's Littlefoot? Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think he might have slipped out somewhere while you're gone. I hate that.
Okay, you got your Bison, F-R-I-S-E. B-I-C-H-O-N-F-R-I-S.
Yeah, my wife
what is
would
that?
Know
what is that, Abe?
What's
you're
that?
You're from New Orleans.
Wait, say that again? I didn't hear it.
B-I-C-H-O-N, that's the first word. The second word is F-R-I-S-E.
F-R-I-S-E.
I don't want to say it because as soon as I say it, people are going to laugh who know what it is.
Freese?
Bison Freese? I don't know.
Bison Freese.
Anyway, they're like a little, they look like almost a hybrid between a Maltese and a poodle, maybe.
Well, that's a good
idea. I'm going to move on to the next one. Golden Retriever there. I can say that.
Golden Retriever.
Golden Retriever.
That's a good
dog.
Good
family traveling dog. Golden Retriever. Boston Terrier.
They travel. We loved our Boston Terrier.
They travel where? What happened to
Oreo? Yeah, he was just old.
Oreo.
Oreo.
Was the name of it?
He was a good dog. Now, I really loved Oreo.
You got your
and Oreos.
You got your Clumber Spaniel. I didn't even know these animals existed. I've heard of spaniels like Cocker and
English
and those. I never heard of a Clumber Spaniel, but
neither have I.
A Brussels Griffon.
Hmm.
Wow.
Didn't
you
he
seen this
play
dog?
For the Clippers?
Yeah. All right, we better move on here. That's just maybe we can cover these later. French Bulldog would be the next one traveling.
You just can't stop, can you?
I can't. It just it gets on one of these. That's why it's not good to get on the internet with time on your hands because you start reading these 15, these lists of 15 everything.
15 things they never told you about the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah, or something
you know,
like that.
Just,
all of a sudden, 2 hours later, you're lost in, who Barney's second girlfriend was and where she was from in the U.S. and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. On a more serious note, we've got some, actually beneficial and helpful information for you now. Our good friend, Dr. Alex McFarland, joins us. We're going to talk about his book and DVD series, which we have available here. Will help you. It's called The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. Alex, how are you doing?
Well, I'm loving this conversation. I'm enjoying hearing all this dog information.
Well, what kind of dog you got?
You need a dog, Alex? I got dogs for you. I got a dog for you if you need one.
Do you know, we're looking after my mom's dog, seriously, on her deathbed. My mom had this little Jack Russell Terrier, which is basically caffeine on four little paws. I mean, it is. Okay, my mom's last words were, "I love you." But seriously, in the final seconds of her life, my mom, she barely whispers. She says, "Take care of the dog." I said, "I will." She grabs my wrist. She looks at me. She goes, "I mean it. Take care of the dog."
You're serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
So you made a vow.
So Angie and I are looking after my mom's Jack Russell Terrier.
Jack Russell Terrier. I'll get to see if
does,
it's on
does
the
Does the
list.
Dog need a companion? We have a companion dog just for you.
For a while, I thought the name should have been Jack Russell Terror.
But now, they're real smart, though, aren't they?
Oh, that dog's got more sense than I do.
The bar is pretty low.
No, it's the dog's house. We just live there.
All right, well... More on this later.
we're coming back to. We're going to revisit the dog scene.
I tell you what, when you weren't taking care of dogs, you had an idea, Alex, a few years ago, to write a book, and which subsequently became a book and a study guide and a DVD set.
This is back when you did constructive things with your life.
Exactly. which we helped produce here at American Family Association. And so what we're about to talk about, folks, we're going to tell you how to order it in just a few minutes, because it's the subject is the 21 toughest questions your kids will ask about Christianity. And we've come now to question number 17 that you cover in the book. And Ed, what is that question for?
The question is, this guy at school says the Bible contradicts itself. Is that true? Now, that's a great question, Alex, because that is a claim that atheists or agnostics or other people who don't want to obey God's laws will say, well, look, the Bible contradicts itself, therefore you don't know whether it's reliable, and therefore I don't have to live according to it. So, is that true? Does the Bible contradict itself, Alex?
I believe the Bible does not contradict itself, although some guy at school might say that it does. And the way I phrase that chapter is because so often kids hear things from their peers or they read something on a blog site. And in the book, which, by the way, these are actual questions from actual families that I interviewed when I was on the road, and we talked to children ages 5 to 12, and we actually collated probably 300 different questions, and maybe someday we might make a volume 2 of this, but I talked to moms and dads about the fact that sometimes when your kids have questions and your kids are processing, you know, how they look at God and what they think about life and church and salvation, you know, kids are very much influenced by their peers and by, you know, their surrounding area, school and media that they take in. And so the book is as much about not only the content, but that mom and dad are the stewards of the home. And mom and dad are responsible to make appropriate media choices for their family and for their kids. And, you know, let me put it this way. Andy Stanley had a great illustration a few years ago where he said, you know, from the time your child is born till you send him off to college at age 18, you have basically 986 weeks, I think it is. And all those, you know, 18 years times 52, I think it's 986 weeks. And by the time they're 9 or 10 years old, half of that's already gone. By the time they're 15, 16, 17, and he did this illustration with all these marbles in a jar, and, you know, by the time your child is going to be a senior in high school, I mean, you just have, you know, 36 or 40 more weeks before they're going to be out of the nest. So the important thing is to build a biblical foundation in their heart and life and soul. Because, you know, once they're gone, to a large degree, your opportunity to shape
Alex,
their worldview is over.
Give us an example of what someone would say is a contradiction in the Bible, and then explain why it isn't.
Well, probably the main one that atheists like to point to, and even teenagers that I meet, relates to the resurrection accounts in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where one says one angel said this, and the other talks about two angels, and did Mary Magdalene go to the tomb, or was it Mary and some other women? And what we talk about is the fact that complementary accounts are not contradictory. A contradiction are two mutually exclusive things that are incompatible. And, you know, we talk about the accounts of the resurrection mornings. That's probably the most famous, where it says an angel said, but it doesn't say only one angel was there. You know, just because one gospel only mentions one doesn't mean that another gospel doesn't leave room for more details. So complementary details are not the same as contradictory details.
Hey, Alex, this is Abe here. Can you describe for the listeners what the impact is for, let's say, a child asks a question like that about the contradictions of Scripture, whether they are actual contradictions or not? How do children respond? What's the results when they have answers to these what some may consider hard questions?
Well, you know, the response is good, because survey after survey, and we've done literally hundreds of surveys over the last 20 years, mom and dad are still the primary voice that children look to for truth about life, about God, about morality. And so, you know, it's interesting, pastors and youth pastors are huge too. In fact, in the top like five things that kids are listening to, peers and even school teachers rank below parents and clergy. So the two most prominent voices that kids are going to listen to in the, you know, the first, say, 12, 15 years of life are parents and clergy. So the response is good. And mom and dad, that's why part of our premise in the book and video, the 21 questions your kids will ask, is that mom and dad are called to be the theologian of the home. And that might sound a little bit scary, but it shouldn't be, because look, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within the heart of every believer. The Word of God promises in 1 John 2:27 that the Spirit is going to be your teacher into the Word. So mom and dad, we really are calling on you, frankly begging you, to take seriously your God-ordained role as the voice of biblical truth into the heart and life of your child. And we're giving you a tool to do the job well.
Okay, we're talking to Dr. Alex McFarland. And, okay, at this point, we're going to tell you how to order this, folks. Now, Alex, what's included in the kit that we're offering here?
And by the way, the award-winning kit.
Yes.
We got third place at the International Christian Media Awards. And so we got this bronze award. But you get my book, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask. You get a leader's guide so you can do it in a small group or Sunday school. You get a student workbook, and mom and dad, you are the learners here. And then you get two DVDs, professionally produced, broadcast quality. We did it with Jeff Shambly and American Family Studios. It's all in a slipcase, this wonderful box. So it's a whole, it's what I call the theological readiness kit for each and every home.
So you deal with the 21 toughest questions.
We do.
Okay.
These are questions like, how do we really know God is real? How do we really know that we can trust the Bible? How do we know that Jesus did all those miracles? How do I know that God really does love me? When I pray, how do I know that God is listening?
And, well, those are questions that children have and adults have.
Too, sure.
So this is even though the book is the 21 toughest questions your kids will ask about Christianity, and how to answer them confidently. Mm-hmm. It's also applicable for adults. So, all right, so you get the, folks, if you want the DVD set, and he covers all the questions in sessions that he does on DVD, Alex does here before an audience, and the book, and the what else did you say?
A leader's guide.
Leader's
and then
guide.
Another workbook.
So there's four things in there?
Exactly. You get four things. And let me just say, we've gotten testimonies. This has been out since February. Going through the workbook, we've gotten literally dozens of emails from moms and dads, and sometimes parents that are single parents raising their kids, and they said, look, in reading this and going through the content, this has deepened my own walk with the Lord. This has strengthened my own.
Oh, I can't help
but
do that. Let me give the phone number. Okay,
sure.
What I'm about to do here, folks, I'm going to give you the phone number to call and order the kit, what we just described here. You get four items in there. I mean, and the
perfect for family Bible studies, for Sunday school class. I mean,
small groups.
You're certainly to have a home or in your church library.
Right.
$39.99 is the cost for this. Well, you should feel guilty getting away with a price like that. No, I'm just kidding. But folks, we got that price skimmed. $39.99 for all this product we just described is indeed a bargain. It's an amazing
right.
price. So I'm going to give you the phone number. You can call and use your credit card. Here's the phone number, 877-927-4917. That's the phone number here to call and order. Just say, I want the 21 Toughest Questions kit, and you'll get it shipped out today, $39.99. Does that include shipping? Does anyone know? I don't know whether that includes shipping. Even if it doesn't, still a bargain. 877-927-4917 is the phone number. Now, if you want to go on the Internet and order it, you can do that at afastore.net. afastore.net, afastore.net. Dogs.net.
I mean, one of the best investments of $40 you'll ever make.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alex, what's the best way? I mean, there just seems to be a lot of biblical illiteracy out here. And I guess you host the program in the afternoons with
Bert Harper.
With Bert Harper. And you guys talk about this question. What's the best way to study the Bible? I know that's a broad, general question, but I mean, you've been doing this your whole life. How do you study the Scripture?
Do you know what Angie and I do? We've tried to do it, and with my travel schedule, we don't always get it done. But you know, you read three chapters a day, five on Sunday. You will read through the Bible in a year.
And what? Now repeat that again.
Three chapters a day, five on Sunday. You'll read through the entire Word of God in a year. And folks, I would challenge you, read the Word to your children. Have a quiet time, have a devotional, even just 10, 12, 15 minutes a day. And so your child never remembers a time that the Word of God wasn't a part of your home life.
And I'll just say this too, the tool, and we're almost out of time, but the best tool in the world for Bible study that I've ever found is a pen. Pen and paper. You know, because you read something and you write down something that you take. It forces you to think about it, because sometimes it's so easy just to read it and your mind's on what's for dinner or this project you got at work or those kind of things. But if you're forced to make an insight or you think about a passage, that has been the best thing in the world. And I started doing that when I first became a Christian.
What about you,
read
Abe?
Something about it.
I agree with everything that has been said. For someone who may be new to the Bible, my experience has been it may be helpful to start with the New Testament,
right,
and then double back to the Old Testament to get kind of a gospel-centered, Jesus Christ-focused introduction to it, which will give insight into how to integrate the Old Testament understanding of the Scripture.
Well, that's three good things right there.
So you wouldn't advocate just flipping over open the Bible and start reading?
Not necessarily. Not the flop method.
The flop method.
I encourage people to read the Gospel of John. It's 21 chapters. If you read a chapter a day, you'll read it in 3 weeks. And the Gospel of John is a good front door to start your study through the Bible. If you want to start in the Old Testament, maybe read the book of Proverbs. God's Book of Wisdom, and Bert and I just did a series on Proverbs, but and the Psalms. But I firmly believe that one of the keys to a great spiritual awakening has got to be that the church has a renewed focus on the Bible.
Mm. Amen.
Agreed. Amen. I agree.
Well, we're out of time. Thank you for yours, Alex. Very good information. Let's see. Next week, we're going to cover question 18, which is what?
Question 18 is, I think, will...
Why are so many Christians hypocrites?
Exactly. And so tune in next week.
Well, I'm not.
Well, I know, but
I'm saying I'm a really good Christian, and I'm not a hypocrite.
Hypocrite alert.
Well, you're not.
Hypocrite alert. Hypocrite alert.
Folks, I'm just kidding. That's what a hypocrite would say, of course.
Exactly.
Okay. Why are Christians such hypocrites?
I'm going to write a book, 10 Ways to Not Be a Hypocrite and How I Did It in 7.
Some fellow said, I'm not joining the church because it's full of hypocrites. And the guy said, well, why don't you come and join us, and then you wouldn't be the first.
Yeah, to show us how it's done.
Then you'd be the first non-hypocrite. Yeah. How about that? All right.
God bless. We got all kinds of good things we can say to these people.
All right. So we'll talk about that next time. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
Thank you, folks.
AFAstore.net if you want to order that. Excellent set, 21 questions, toughest questions. My thanks to Ed, my thanks to Abe, our thanks to you for listening to this program. Alistair Begg straight ahead with some excellent Bible teaching, then the news, then on with your day on AFR. We'll see you tomorrow.